You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
You know, it's so easy to not put yourself first and to just get busy and feel like that's okay and that's just where you're at in life. And this woman ends up, Nina, she ended up pausing the interview, asking the camera crew to go outside and said a quote to me. She said, "Rachel, have you ever heard that your video is not matching your audio?"
It's episode 139 of the Simple Human Podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is Dr. Lonnie Lowry, an exercise physiologist and nutrition professor. Then it's another moderately funny edition of Humans Being Human with Chris and the Elk Package Story. And we're up with our Simply Human Tip of the Week. How are you, Rick, mountain biking?
Of course, yeah. We get mountain biking out of the way 1 minute into the podcast.
Well, Chris...
Chris will think about that.
Yeah, Chris, who is on our Humans Being Human, he always makes fun of me for mentioning it. And like the last show, he was like, "You didn't mention it." Like, what the heck? And I was like, well, this next show, I'm just going to say, "How are you, Rick?" Mountain biking, just to get it out of the way. So,
by the way, did you change microphones? You sound like you're in a bathroom.
I am in a bathroom. No, it's the same microphone. Does it sound weird?
Maybe it's my headphones or a computer or something. Okay, I was just curious.
Okay,
right.
So speaking of the bathroom, my little station is in my bedroom next to the bathroom, and my daughter just came in here to get a little baggie of little hair things, and she's wearing nail polish. Excuse me. She is wearing roller skates.
Shut up, little girl.
you'll get whatever I say. You'll get it and like it. And she's wearing roller skates. She has been wearing roller skates around the house for the last, I don't know, month. We went today, Rick, to a roller skating rink. And I put on the roller skates that have like the four wheels per skate, not like the inline skates.
Those are called quads, by the way.
Okay, because I know I have not roller skated in probably 25 years. Like, I can't remember the last time I went roller skating. And as I was out there, and I kind of got, you know, we used to go roller skating. Remember Thunderbird Rink? Did you ever go to that roller skating rink in Plano?
I practically lived there when I was like junior high school.
Okay.
Because it wasn't my first job, but it was one of my first jobs was a hockey referee.
Yes.
Reffing hockey games. At Thunderbird, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, I didn't realize that's where it was. So I was thinking about, like, it came back eventually, and it was fun. And I was thinking about, well, this man, Rick, would just hop on here with the inline skates and just be able to go crazy. You'd probably skate backwards. You can do all the sorts of things. But I know you skate, you know, like, every now and then, but when's the last time you went roller skating? Is that a thing now? Do people go roller skating?
Like, just, like, casually going roller skating.
Yeah. Because I remember that used to be, like, a thing. Like,
yeah. I don't think if you remove hockey or hockey-related activities from that, it's probably been about the same. It's probably been, what am I, 36? It's probably been about 25, 24, 23 years, something like that. Just going to the old roller rink for a nice Friday evening.
Oh, my gosh, Rick.
Skating.
I just remember this. Oh, my gosh. This is amazing that I just remembered this. I can remember the last time we went roller skating because I was with you, because it was at like a New Year's Eve lock-in at our church. Remember?
That might have been it, yeah.
Because, okay, something that I remember from that night. There was like a DJ.
Okay, let me stop. I feel like this is a grand setup, this whole thing, to tell a story about something stupid I did 25 years ago on New Year's Eve.
I promise you, I just remember this. Like, and I've always thought this was so
that was
funny.
Not convincing at all. You're like, oh, hey, speaking of roller skating, you know what I just remembered? Just popped in my head.
No, I swear.
Spontaneously 2 seconds ago?
Okay, listen.
Tell the story, whatever it happens to be. I don't know what you're saying.
We would meet up at, like, this is like an event with our church. We would meet up at, like, I don't know what, 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock at the church on like New Year's Eve, and we would like just go to, we would go roller skating, and we would go like play laser tag, and we would do like all these different things all night long, and end up at the church. That was actually the lock-in that your brother told that joke before.
Yeah, I got your bike right here.
I got
joke,
your bike
yes,
right here
yes.
joke, which has gone down in history as one of the greatest moments of my life. And I don't think it was that same year, but it was that same event, and it was New Year's Eve, and Rob was with us. And we were roller skating, and I remember there was like a DJ up, like, you know, back then when you used to just go roller skate to have fun, there was like a guy playing music, and he was up there like, happy birthday to these people, and like all this stuff. Well, he was asking people to send him New Year's resolutions, like to like hand him New Year's resolutions, and he was, do you remember this?
It's vaguely.
Okay, so.
I don't remember doing it, but I remember you telling the story at some point, me going like, okay,
oh man, I hope I didn't already tell this story on the show.
I don't think you have.
So we're all skating around, and unbeknownst to like all of us, you had like written your New Year's resolution on a little piece of paper and gone and like handed it to him. So you're skating with next to us, and it's me, you, and Jackson, Rob, and everybody else. And then the guy was like, "All right." I've got a few more New Year's resolutions to read. Here's one from such and such. They want to, eat more salad. And here's one from such and such. They want to go to bed on time this year. And oh, here's one from Rick Bentley. His New Year's resolution is date more Italians. Like that was your New Year's resolution. I don't know why. Like I've always like remembered that. Like date more Italians. Like what a random New Year's resolution. Well,
we were probably like 11 or 12 men,
yeah,
maybe at this point, which makes it even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
I remember one of those New Year's lock-ins. We were on like drove like a school bus, but the bus like the transmission dropped or something halfway through. So there was a huge crisis, and on that same one. I don't remember who it was, but somebody, you know, like gave me like a dead leg, like kneed me in the side of the leg, which is, by the way, there's a name for that nerve. It's called the common peroneal. But it gave me a dead leg, and I'm not kidding you, it was sore.
For like a week?
For like 3 months. Like it was black, like where it happened. They just caught me like right in the right spot. It was just insane.
It was probably Matt Hendry. I remember one of those times we ended up at –
here's your bleeping tool for now. I'll spare you, but he's a piece of ass. Yeah. Anyways,
so we were at like a YMCA or something, and we did like a boiled egg eating contest. Do you remember that? And Matt Booth won the boiled egg eating contest.
Yuck!
I know. He ate like 16 boiled eggs. Oh,
that's gross.
I know the things. Yeah. Yuck. So, but anyway, so roller skating. So you think your boys ever have any? Like desire to roller skate?
They've never been. Well, I've taken both of them ice skating.
Okay.
And I actually want to get them skating lessons. And then if they enjoy that, like there's a hockey program around here that, you know, free hockey equipment and free like basic lessons. If they enjoy it, that's something they can do. But that's never even crossed my mind to go roller skating.
Yeah. So do you know, like, can you speak to the physics of roller skating? Because obviously if the skates are like straight ahead, you can't gain any traction. So you have to push out.
It's exactly like ice skating.
Right.
Imagine that you're wearing ice skates, right?
Okay.
And you're looking down at your feet. You're standing up looking down at your feet. And if your feet are parallel to each other,
you can't go anywhere.
And you try to skate that way, well, you can't go anywhere. So you have to push out. So one foot, like look at your feet, your right foot kind of cants out like a 45-degree angle to where that blade is against the ice, and you push with that foot and you glide with your left foot.
Yeah.
And then when that stride is done, you put your right foot down straight and you cant your left foot out at 45 degrees and push with that foot. And that's how you do it. Well, that's how you do it in both those disciplines.
Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know if I can speak to the physics of it, right. But I can speak to the I know how to skate
right.
of it.
Well, and so it would be like I've never like tried to teach anyone how to roller skate. You probably haven't either. Like, and so, well, I guess when they're skating, that you had to kind of tell them that. So, like, Halen, she's been wearing these roller skates around the house. Well, the way she's been doing it, she just puts the toe.
It's really safe.
She puts the toe down, and she just, like, you know, has to have this little rubber, like, brake on the end of this roller skate.
It's a toe stop. Yeah.
Toe stopper. She just pushes off that and then glides, and that's how she gains her speed. She doesn't push off, like you were saying, like at an angle. And so Hope, the 5-year-old, she doesn't know, she hasn't mastered that. So I was telling her, okay, stand here and now point your toes out, and then we're just going to kind of go back and forth. Well, she would like get her legs, like she wouldn't bring her feet back under center, so she would just, her legs just like kept getting like farther and farther apart, and then she would fall down. But like she ended up getting where she could do it, and I think, you know, you can get going pretty fast. I kind of got scared a couple times, like, man, if I fall here, it's gonna be like,
I wonder if there's even a roller rink near me.
Well, there's two here in town. Like, so there's two in Abilene. There has to be like 17 in Dallas.
I can't believe it. There's a roller rink in Abilene, Texas. Is it packed on Friday nights? It's the only thing to do. Over here you can go cow tipping, and then you can go to the roller rink and then go home.
Well,
everything closes at 10 o'clock at night. So
one step down from Abilene is Midland. Like, if you really want to get country. Sure. And
yes,
I was out there.
I'm
going to tell this story real quick, and then we'll get to our interview with Dr. Lowry. We just basically talk about coffee the whole time. It's an amazing interview, and so okay. you're gonna enjoy it. And yeah, you weren't able to be on this one, so but it was fun. I'm sure there were a lot of. I think I even said it a couple times. I was like, man, I'm glad Rick's not on this. He would just be totally making fun of me right now. And I was like running or something, like back when I was doing all that training, like running training, and there was like this bowling alley out in Midland, and it was like this run down, closed, condemned bowling alley, right? I mean, it was just like the grass was all grown out, it was just falling, the sign was falling down. I mean, it was like it looked like it'd been there like back in the '80s, and nobody had ever bowled in it, you know, for the last 20 years. And as I'm like running, like in the parking lot, I'm doing like intervals or something up and past like the entrance of this bowling alley, I like walked up to the entrance to just kind of peek in, you know. I was like, man, what is this? I bet it's crazy in there, you know, like an old rundown bowling alley. And there were like people in it. And I saw like a baby carrier. And I was like, oh gosh. And like, I kind of quickly went away. It's like, there's like homeless people or something are like living in this bowling alley. Because I couldn't see, you know, there's like two sets of glass doors in the sun. I couldn't really see. I could just see people. And I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, oh, you know, so like I went away. I was like, I didn't want to bother him or anything. I didn't want to think I was like coming in trying to like, you know, mess with him or anything. Well, that night I like went out to a dinner thing or something, and I came back to the hotel, and as I passed the bowling alley, the parking lot was full. It was open. It was like it was just people in there bowling. But like it was so
kind of bowling alley.
Yeah, but it was like yeah, but it was like such a rundown, like horrible looking place that my brain never even considered. Oh, it's open. There are people and they're bowling. Like it was a bowling alley. Like, so that's pretty standard Midland Abilene type stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to the interview with Dr. Lowry. Go to the website, simplyhumanlifestyle.com. There is all the stuff you could ever want there, contact information, everything else like that. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up, which we'll talk about at the end of the show. At SimplyHuman52 is where you can find us on social media, like us on Facebook, all that good stuff. You can go to the store page and look at all that. There is an affiliate link to Alt-Shift-Lift. If you go to the store page and click on that Alt-Shift banner, and then that'll take you to the Alt-Shift website, and then if you go buy the book there, we get a little train down the track thing. Is that how you say that? I can't remember say that. Okay, so here is the interview with Dr. Lowry. We're talking about Flex Magazine, Pumping Iron, The Curse of Competence, A Sports Nutrition Philosophy, Coffee, How to Make Coffee, Pre-Workout Caffeine, Starbucks Via Coffee and Sleep, Treat Not Staple, The Tortoise and the Hare Approach, and Being a Warrior Nerd. Here's Dr. Lowry. Joining us today on the Simply Human Podcast, super excited to have Dr. Lonnie Lowry, who's an exercise physiologist and nutrition professor. He's a former competitive bodybuilder. Google image him, people, trust me.
Oh,
and he's been a freelance writer for most top bodybuilding and fitness magazines and is a researcher and lecturer. Welcome, Dr. Lowry.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you are also one of the hosts of Iron Radio, the Iron Radio podcast, which I was on. Gosh, it's been a couple of months ago now, hasn't it? It's been a while.
Several weeks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's, you know, we'll talk more about that towards the end of the interview. But yeah, just really, really excited to have you on. I know Mike T. Nelson has been on the show a couple of times, and that's sort of how all that went down. But let's just kind of talk about, you have such an interesting background. Let's talk about sort of how you got to where you are today.
Oh, yeah. You know, looking back, I'm not 100% sure how I really got into fitness and bodybuilding, physique competition, all that sort of thing. I do know that there was a sort of a crucible moment when my sister, when I was 13 years old, bought me a Flex magazine. And that would have been the early 80s. Yeah. You know,
do you remember who was on the cover?
Yes, Samir Benoot.
Oh my gosh, yes. Like my brother and I were like huge into all that back then. Like my brother was like a huge Arnold fan, and so we had all the Flex. So some, yeah, man, all those old guys like the,
but, you know, yeah. So she did it as a joke, yeah. You know, because I was basically benching cement and plastic weights off the floor of my, you know, with, I mean, imagine the limited range of motion.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
the top range of your bench was like extraordinary. Yeah.
Lockout was brilliant, right?
Yeah.
But she did it as a joke, and I took it seriously. And so that sort of became, you know, the theme. And, you know, the usual stigma, you know, like I was supposedly at family gatherings, you know, I was the narcissist of the family because I liked physique stuff and, you know, and
sleeveless shirts and things. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, and just. Tom Platz, I think, said it best. He said, I think it was in Pumping Iron or The Comeback or one of those documentaries, but it just calls to some people. It's like almost like a priest. You know, you have a calling to something you must do, and that was one of the things that just really, really called to me. You know, I mean, I was I did competitive martial arts, you know, in Taekwondo for years, and I had played some soccer when I was a kid and that sort of thing, but it was always sort of weird sports, even in high school, you know, track and martial arts. And I mean, I was a pole vaulter. So
oh,
I always
wow.
like adrenaline type things, or, you know, they require a lot of skill and a lot of fitness, but you didn't really get recognized for it in any way.
Right.
You know, I wasn't celebrated in the halls of my high school, you know, like
right.
football guys or
yeah.
you know, stuff like that. But yeah, but I think that's how it started. I started reading Weider magazines mostly. And there was always tidbits, always hints about science, you know, and I think eventually I started learning more and more, and I got this idea that, hey, you know, maybe this is something I can go to college for. And another sort of, I think, epiphany moment was I was on the second floor of the Kent State Library, which was where I was going to go to school. And that's where all the science journals were, the nutrition journals, the exercise physiology journals. And I'm like, holy Christ, this is legit. Like I stumbled into a Solomon's mine. You know?
It's like you don't even know where to start. It's like,
so much of what I read, I didn't understand, but you can always drop to the last few sentences of a scientific abstract.
Right.
And you'll say, so
the conclusion.
The conclusion. And even to this day, that's what I tell students. If you don't understand some of the equipment or the statistical mumbo jumbo, you can still read the conclusion, and this stuff is peer-reviewed, right?
Yeah.
It's not fact-checked like some journalist, you know, in a lay magazine. People have aggressively taken a look at this and said, did the author do or say anything stupid?
Yeah.
And so there was such a level of quality, and I just started cashing in immediately for my own, for my martial arts or for my, you know, physique training, and I just fell in love with it, you know, and then – you know, five diplomas later, you know, here I sit, I guess. I overdid the education side maybe. And then I would compete, you know, not very frequently, but maybe that's a byproduct of the schooling and the rigors and all that. But I'd say every 4 or 5 years I would, you know, dip back into the competitive waters, partly just as a courage test, right? It was intimidating in a way. I always felt like I was getting back in the saddle kind of, but I liked that. Like test yourself, like, you know what I mean? Like it takes a lot of guts to get on stage in your underwear in front of 1,000 people.
Yes. It takes a lot of guts to like do that, like in your own house, you know, like
That's right.
Like I do that, you know, I do my little physique poses from like my wife, and she ridicules me and throws things at me. So I can't even imagine.
But, Kelly, My wife, she's perfected this flat look. Like it's almost eye rolling, but it's like, you know, take it somewhere else, you know,
right. Cool guy. Yeah. My wife is like, she knows what the top of like her eye sockets look like. She's just in a constant eye roll. Like she right. never is looking down straight, you know. But hey, you mentioned pumping iron a second ago. Do you agree, as I believe, that is like a must? What are you, like a bodybuilding fan or not? That is like a must watch for every human.
Oh, it is. I think it speaks to the purity of it. You know, I talked about a calling. I once got in a big debate with a friend of mine as to whether or not performance-enhancing drugs were the essence of bodybuilding. And I would argue, no, they're not. And he would say, but without it, pro bodybuilding can't exist. And, you know, it's that age-old argument. Yeah. But, no, definitely required watching. And I would also say when I got it on VHS, it was called The Comeback. It was 1980. It was Tom Platz was in it. And just fantastic. And I was just so – I don't know. It just – just reached inside me and grabbed something, you know. And,
well, if you ever need, like, as somebody who like lifts weights, who I hope all of you humans out there are lifting weights, if you want motivation to like lift weights, just watch Pumping Iron. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched it, and there's some hilarious lines. The pump line, the Arnold, you know. I have a shirt that says Arnold is numero uno. It's like it's white with the black, right. You know, around. And like just from a psychological perspective, there are some like mind games that Arnold would play with people that bodybuilding or not are just like fascinating.
Well, you know, Tom Platz said something in one of those films. He said, Arnold's in love with life. I want to be like that.
Yes.
You know.
And then look what he's done. Like that's not like that. That was an indication of like what he was about to do with his life. Like that, Arnold is one of my favorite. You know, you ask, you know, what are who are the five people you want to have lunch with? You know, like Arnold is like top three on my list.
Yeah, I agree. With that.
Like he is just such an unbelievable person. But anyway, we can now. If I could ever get Arnold on the show, now that would be.
Oh, I'd love to have him on Iron Radio.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Hey, you know what? We did once. Maybe you'll have to edit this out.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a bleeping tool. Yeah,
Lou Ferrigno reached out to us once and then flaked. I'm like, but
what?
Oh, I'm like, dude. Whatever.
Oh, man. Like, that would be another one. Yeah, like Lou Ferrigno, Franco Colombo, like Wallace, like any of those guys. Like, oh, man. Yeah. Like, that would be awesome to talk to those guys. But, okay, well, let's talk about some of the things that you're interested in. I know – well, what are you doing now? Like, what is your, like, day-to-day job and things that you're around all the time?
Yeah. Well, I'm a professor, so right now I'm a teacher in the summer, but only for about another week. So I'm ramping up. You know, here we go. But because I went to school for both exercise physiology and nutrition and dietetics, I've taught in both kinds of departments, right? So it's been good for me, I guess, career-wise. I can jump around and I can do hybrid stuff too, like sports nutrition, you know? And sometimes it's a curse. Like this fall, I'm going to teach a pathophysiology class to some doc students in physical therapy because I've taught patho before.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's the curse of competence. And sometimes I feel scattered, to be honest, because – you know, there's only so much room on your hard drive.
Right, right. The curse of competence. I added that to the show notes. Well, okay, so you mentioned sports nutrition. And just really quickly, I want to kind of talk to you about there are so many different people and things and influences out there as far from a sports nutrition standpoint, as far as, you know, oh, you don't need as many carbs as we once thought, and this, you need to do this post-workout, and this 30 minutes, 90 minutes before this. Like, where do you kind of fall in that sports nutrition, sort of like if you had to do an elevator speech of your sports nutrition philosophy for the athlete, what is your philosophy there?
I think it would probably be whole foods and lots of them, with the addition of dietary supplements. Right, you're going to hear that dietary supplements from one camp, you know, everything's the best since sliced bread.
Right,
and from the academics, usually you have people trying to disprove them, like they're performance enhancing drugs and they're evil. And so you've got to take a very neutral look, like what is, you know, evidence based? What does the evidence say? So whole foods and plenty of it, and take a critical eye, but you know, an accepting eye when it's necessary of dietary supplements.
Yeah. So, what supplements do you recommend? I guess it depends on the types of movement and the types of activities that the person is undergoing.
There's been, to me, an almost disturbing trend over the last 15 years for everything to be a botanical, you know, an herb or something. And I'd have a company want me to consult on that or do research on that. I'd be like, listen, guys, I'm a nutritionist, right? Creatine's a nutrient. Protein, carbs, fats, vitamins, minerals, these are all nutrients. I'm all about them. And my research is focused mostly on either coffee or protein or different kinds of fats. But there are some interesting botanicals like curcumin, you know, from curry powder, which is anti-inflammatory and, you know, really stands out in a lot of ways. And so I'm a fan of the stuff that's more nutrient-based, right? So creatine has over 350 papers on it now. There's a 75% consensus that it works for the things that it's usually sold for, and even helps with cognition and that sort of thing. Fish oils, I got to take enough of them. You know, I'll take four triple-strength fish oils every morning. Whey protein, you know, pre, mid, post-workout, any of the above, any or all of the above. That's sort of the basis.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, if I've got my, you know, my joints are barking at me a lot because I'm in my mid 40s now. So curcumin and stuff like that. When I don't feel like the fish oils are enough, on the med side, Phil that does the Iron Radio show with me, of course, we're both huge fans of ibuprofen.
Yeah, I know. It's so amazing. Like, you know, something is, you know, musculoskeletal. It's like you take ibuprofen and like 10 minutes later, there is like the pain is like gone. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, I just read something too about how initially ibuprofen, before they like had like flavored it or something, like it would like kind of cause like a burning in the back of your throat in much the same way that a really high quality olive oil does. I don't know if you've ever had like real olive oil, not the crap that you get at, you know, Walmart or something, but like real olive oil that's like, you know, quality source and all that, it'll kind of burn the back of your throat. And this thing that I read is talking about how it's the anti-inflammatory pathway, the ibuprofen is like kind of on that same pathway. That's sort of the unflavored or whatever ibuprofen will do that same thing. I thought that was interesting from like an anti-inflammatory perspective. But let's talk about coffee and caffeine.
Oh, sure.
You know, they talk about, oh, you know, coffee is bad for you. And then, oh, coffee is good for you. And then there's Folgers. And then there's like the whole Dave Asprey, like bulletproof coffee that costs a lot of money. And then there's, you know, like, so from what I understand, there are tons of antioxidants in coffee. It's really good for you. You know, but where is that line between, you know, I think, you know, too much water can kill you, right? So like too much of anything is not a good thing. So like let's talk about coffee. How much is good for you? What types of coffee? When? All that good stuff.
Yeah, well, first of all, coffee is not just one thing. Yeah. I usually tell people that. And it's certainly not just liquid caffeine.
Yeah.
You know, just like you're talking about olive oil, there's also a lot of antioxidants in coffee. And so coffee does some amazing things. I once had a mentor of mine say, Lowry, you keep looking at coffee. That's boring. Why don't you go to one of the super strong caffeine gums that the military uses or some anhydrous caffeine? I'm like, because it's not – coffee is cool. It's not just liquid caffeine. So, for example, if you take a caffeine pill, you'll become slightly carbohydrate resistant for the next couple hours. But if you drink coffee, it might have a similar acute effect, but week to week in a chronic way, coffee enhances like carbohydrate deposition into your muscles. You know, so it would enhance muscle recovery, where getting strung out on energy drinks and raw caffeine would probably hamper muscle recovery. And that's because of all those other, you know, chlorogenic acid and other things that are in the coffee. As far as too much, I hate to minimize things. You know how scientists are always caveats, like only if this and in this population. But I had to put a number on it. It's probably somewhere around 6 cups a day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do more. Now, there's different size cups. It confuses because sometimes fancy baristas will talk about a cup of coffee being 5 ounces. You know, a standard fluid cup, you know, is 8 fluid ounces.
Yeah, this is not – if you have a 32-ounce like Yeti tumbler, not 6 of those – people.
Right.
Yeah.
No, right. So I tend to drink out of 12 to 16 ounce regular, you know, size coffee mugs. And so
What do you put in your coffee?
Four of those during the day. But you know what? A lot of times I'll drink half calf. I think my students would be shocked to hear that. But a lot of times, because, you know, I tend to always have a cup of coffee in my hand when I teach or I go around during the day. It's you can watch documentaries. Peter Jackson does that with hot tea whenever he's filming. Even if he needs both his hands, he'll try to do it with also with the cup of tea. And I'm like that with my coffee. But I try to save the really strong caffeinated stuff for an hour before I lift. You know, that's that magic pre-workout time, is get it in 60 minutes before.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to abuse it to the point that, you know, I'm just always exhausted and I can't sleep at night. And in fact, a lot of my own research is I want to turn, after finding, you know, pretty solid 5 or 10% boost in explosive lifts repeatedly over the last, I'd say, 6 or 8 years, I need to turn my attention to what happens tonight. Like, if I sleep like crap, that I
is it
really
worth
benefit
it?
From that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay. So I've written down a couple things I want to get to about coffee. But before I do, what type of coffee do you drink? Should people, as Folgers, like should you not drink Folgers? Like, I get coffee from like the little bins at like a natural grocer's, and I like grind my beans either by hand or in one of those little deals like every morning, like before I never, you know. So like, what is your like recommendation on types of coffee and then how to brew it? And I use an AeroPress too. I'm like such a coffee snob. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had two students when I used to I co-ran a nutrition center at a big university here in Ohio, and two of them were managers at Starbucks, and one of them said, "You've got to use a coffee press, you know, and because you get that nice crema at the top with those lips." I admit I don't do that. I want one, maybe for Christmas this year, but I can tell you what I drink at home.
Okay.
I have a can of half calf and a cup of full calf, chock full of nuts. I think it's a good standard kind of coffee.
Yeah.
It's but that's more my like all day kind of thing. You know what I mean? At work, I always have bags of Starbucks. I love dark roast coffee.
Yeah.
I know it's a little lower on the caffeine content unless it's a special kind of dark roast, but, and I just drip brew it, you know.
Yeah. So
but,
you're saying you don't have to like spend $80 on a half pound bag of coffee. Like you can, and but like don't spend $1 on a pound of coffee, you know, like just.
No, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Health wise and like bang for the buck in the gym of, yeah, a good, you know, like I said, chock full of nuts, I think, is a pretty good standard. It's not expensive.
Yeah.
Would I spend $80 on a pound if I thought, you know, if I really wanted it? Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's like a good, like, whiskey or, like, a good bottle of wine or something.
Precise.
Like, you get what you pay for.
That's
like, one of my favorite, like, sayings in life, cliches. Like, I want to make a T-shirt. It's like, you get what you pay for. So we talked about you just drip brew. Okay, so let's talk about, you mentioned pre-workout caffeine. And I know, like, a lot of people out there, maybe not a ton of our listeners, but some probably, you know, are interested or take like a pre-workout supplement, like a powder, and most of them have caffeine in them. But are you saying that, or would you say that like doing like a natural form of caffeine in the form of coffee before you work out is better than one of those blue powdery things, or are those things okay?
No, I think actually probably yes. One of the things you got to remember with coffee, and I should amend what I was saying before too, is in the lab I always use Starbucks Via instant coffee.
Okay.
And the reason we do that, we use two packets of it. Two reasons. One is brewed coffee is all over the place in the number of milligrams of caffeine you get out of it.
Right.
And if you go to a Starbucks, you know, it could vary by more than 100, 150 milligrams, So, and the Via is so precise. I mean, we actually test it in the lab with HPLC.
So can you get can you get that at Starbucks?
You can get it at Walmart, Starbucks.
Huh.
It's way more expensive than the little packets of Nescafe and the usual instant coffee because it's micro ground coffee. It's not the same thing.
So Starbucks but, Via. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, it, you know, it's a little bit different animal, but I like it, you know, and two packets of it will light up even big powerlifters, you know, because it equates to something like 320, 330 milligrams of caffeine.
Do you have to brew it and make it where it's warm, or can you just dump it in water and mix it up and drink it?
Yes. No, it'll dissolve in water. Yeah.
Cool.
I put hot water on it, but you can make iced coffee with it and that kind of stuff.
Man. Cool.
But I like it because of the, again, chronically, there's tons of research coming out. Some of it's primarily was in Japan, and now it's all over the place, that it actually enhances carbohydrate metabolism, coffee does, you know, over, you know, 6, 8, 12 weeks kind of thing. So, and you're not going to get that out of an energy drink.
Right.
So, you know, plus it's maybe it's the old school in me. You know, we're talking about pumping iron and stuff, but like my buddy Rob and I, we'd sit around and our pre-workout ritual was like, you know, a very large cup of just – I mean it's – I think it's crappy, but people may vary. Your mileage may vary, but McDonald's coffee and a cheeseburger. That was like our pre-workout. And then we would just go tear it up for like 3 hours, you know.
So what do you put in your coffee?
Right now I'm putting half a packet of stevia.
Okay.
I like just a little bit of sweetener. Like right in my hand right now, I got some pumpkin spice. I'm already at it. I love pumpkin spice stuff.
Okay.
But I'm not a big fan of a lot of the stuff you buy at something like a Tim Hortons or Starbucks, where it's half high fructose corn syrup, gross. So I don't like it really sweet.
Do you ever put fat in your coffee? Like I know the whole bulletproof. What do you think about the whole bulletproof craze, putting butter, coconut oil? I've kind of gone to a place where I'll usually put about a tablespoon of heavy cream in the bottom of my coffee. Like are you okay with fat in coffee?
I am. I like black coffee, though. But I know Mike Nelson, who we talked about, Mike likes to put like heavy whipping cream and stuff like that. I've toyed around with coconut oil and stuff like that. But for the most part, I like my coffee unfooled around with, right? I want to taste what's in that. Coffee is not one thing, and I want to taste that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I just mentioned whiskey, you know, a second ago. It's like if you like buy a cheap bottle of whiskey, you know, put coke in it, fine. If you buy like a good high quality whiskey, like how dare you like mess with, you know, like you're messing with like the flavors and the process of how it was made and all that. So yeah, it's kind of the same deal with any good,
like a wine connoisseur. If you said wine is just wine, they'd shoot you in the head,
right?
You know.
Right. And I love that there's a the book Anti-Fragile, which I've talked about a lot on this show. Nassim Taleb, and he talks about like the things that he drinks are the drinks that have been around the longest, right? So it's like water, coffee, wine, and I throw whiskey in there just because it's not as old as wine, but it's a couple, 300-400 years old. Yeah, I consider that old. So
you know what? To me, it's that connoisseur appreciation of craftsmanship and quality and that kind of stuff that you can see in wines and coffees and things like that.
Yeah, and you know, like the Keurig to me is such like a tragedy of coffee. And like I don't know, you know, have I ever used a Keurig? Yeah. But like just how it's just such like a, it's like taking a grass fed like steak and just in like, it's that versus like a Salisbury steak microwave dinner or something. Like it's just, it's such a shame.
I'm with you.
Let's talk about coffee and sleep real quick. So I know a lot of times, let's say people are having trouble sleeping, and what I always tell people, because you know, sleep is one of the four pillars of the Simply Human Lifestyle, so I always tell people, if you need coffee to wake up in the morning, you don't need more coffee, you need more sleep. And if you can't go to sleep at night, or you're waking up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, sometimes that can be a cortisol thing. And so do you ever recommend people like just, okay, you need to not drink any coffee for a week or two and let your receptors reset and kind of let your cortisol and all that reset? Or is like, what are your recommendations on coffee and sleep and all that?
That's interesting. I mean, when you talk about resetting, we actually did some research we presented last year on habituation, because so many times coffee studies they give huge amounts of caffeine or coffee to caffeine naive people, but 90% of the globe consumes caffeinated drinks like coffee and tea. So we're not caffeine naive.
Right.
And why does all the research do that? I mean, not all, but much. We actually looked, and there was a blunting, but it didn't abolish the effect. So we're seeing guys get 11% boost in explosive lifts with 2 packs of Via. And then we took guys that were regular caffeine and coffee consumers, and they were still getting a significant bump of about 6% in their lifts. Huh. So it didn't abolish it. So I guess that's just with regards to your comment about like, you know, getting your receptors reset or whatever. But having said that, there's a lot of reasons, of course, for insomnia. And I really become a fan of, you know, if you're going to exercise seriously, intensely, then you have to kind of take that same approach with sleep. I mean, sleep intensely sounds funny, but, you know, the guys that will take like a zinc magnesium supplement or, you know, my wife's a big pusher of the double bag chamomile tea.
Ooh,
man,
yeah.
That puts down. And that's, you know, it doesn't interact usually with other meds. And so I try to do the best I can with that. I don't personally drink coffee past about, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It just, I'm one of those people, I think it lingers on. I mean, there's genetically, you know, most of the population is one of two types. You're a fast caffeine metabolizer or a slow metabolizer. And if you're a slow metabolizer, you got to be really careful, you know, with some of that. And I wrestle with that, right? Because my wife and I go for walks in the morning and I like to do it fasted. I like to remind my body to burn fat.
Right.
You know, because otherwise I'm fed 100% of the time during the day. So it's that old bodybuilder mentality and always eating and being a high insulin, high blood sugar state. And so we get up at 4:45 in the morning to do that.
Wow.
So if I don't get to bed, if I don't literally start winding down about 8 p.m., I do wrestle with that. I'm like, should I even get up or should I get this extra hours of sleep?
Right.
You know, because all we do is go for a brisk walk. It's not like I'm training real hard that early.
Yeah.
So it's sort of that trade-off maybe, but I think that's an individual thing. There's a phrase in dietetics that I always thought was a bit of a cop-out, but it's also true because of individual genetic differences, and it's as tolerated.
Yep.
You know, some people can tolerate lots of coffee, and some better cut it off by 1 or 2 p.m.
Right, yeah. If you drink coffee in the morning or at noon and you just cannot sleep, and then you don't drink coffee and you can sleep, well, hey, there's a clue for you, you know, like, it's like you just, it might be like everybody's kind of a different sort of deal. So,
well, just like you mentioned with the whiskey and stuff, to me, it's not like it's, in a way, it's an enjoyment and it's a privilege that I don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And if I just have to follow that sort of, I sound like a Buddhist here, but that middle path, you know, I don't want to overdo it and lose the privilege.
Well, yeah. See, there's the whole balance between the three pillars, eat, sleep, and move, and then manage stress or that enjoy life part. And there's some overlap there. Like for, you know, if you know, you're going to, if something you enjoy is a Klondike bar, and that's like you grew up and there's like this, you know, your grandmother used to buy you Klondike bars, and that's like, there's this thing about Klondike bars. But you want to have a Klondike bar, that's fine. Just make sure that you're not having one every day, or that you're not, you know, eating like, you know, your nutrition kind of makes up for that, you know, like you said, like with the sleep thing, like, you know, you're going to have coffee, you want to enjoy that. Well, then you better go to bed on time. You better have like a sleep environment set up for, you're not, you know, watching TV until you go to sleep and you've got all the lights on and you've got, the room is hot, you know, like you need to make trade-offs for things that you want to do that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of all that. So,
my house, we say, you know, treat, not staple. So like most people in the McDonald's down from my house, it's a constant conveyor belt of cash for those people. And it's because they do it as a staple. That's
right.
Their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I've spoken to university athletes and I'm like, do you realize your 100% of your diet is deep fried fast food?
Yeah.
There's not a single vegetable or fruit in your entire lineup here. And now you could cast fingers, you know, point fingers at them. But if they're living in an urban food desert, it's actually harder to get to a grocery that doesn't exist. But at the same time, that's the approach. Like some people would be shocked. Oh my God, look at Dr. Lowry and his family. They're having what we call a McDonald's freakout, you know, or a fast food freakout.
Yeah.
This is like a once in a blue moon thing and we're having fun with it and we're enjoying it. Like you said, it's that enjoy life. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to be back to my oatmeal and berries with some whey protein in it, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned a brisk walk. So would you – I know I've read something. Gosh, it's been an article that was like dated like 10 years ago or more. But you mentioned like walking is one of the best just for – that is like if for the every person. You don't live in like a mountain area where you can like cross-country ski. You say like walking is like the best form of cardio. Do you still – is that still something that you think?
Yeah, I once wrote an article called 100 Workouts, and it was basically about that. You have to have a lot of patience, right? There's a tortoise and there's a hare approach to getting lean.
Yeah.
And I actually like the idea. I think, especially being middle-aged now, I think orthopedically there's a lot of benefit. I mean, if you think about it, when you go to a physical therapist, for example, most of what they do is not exactly intense training. It's sort of just moving in a natural way. And walking is very natural. There's no recovery necessary. It's not going to interfere with my workout later this afternoon. You know, so that's been the formulation that I have. Like a nice medium pace. Sometimes you know, I used to wear an X vest, like a 20 or 40 pound vest.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Yep.
Just add a little more resistance. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Even I've seen power lifters that wanted to gain weight, and they would even – they'd walk in the morning just to balance out, you know, that extreme calorie surplus and the potential fat gain later in the day.
Yeah.
And just to, so, you know, maybe the gains are a little more leaner over time, you know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I remain a fan of walking.
Yeah. Okay, so we are at 30 minutes, and I want to respect your time. Where can people find you? We mentioned Iron Radio Podcast. Where else can people find you on Twitter and social media and all that?
Right. I think if you were to go to ironradio.org, there's the links to all of those other things.
Okay.
I mean, we're on iTunes, Iron Radio, Lawnman7 on Twitter, but all of it would basically be from the ironradio.org webpage.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's been doing that for 8+ years now, so there's lots branching out from that.
Yeah, cool. All right, now I'm going to ambush you with that last question that doesn't have to have anything to do with anything we just talked about. And for the record, we basically just talked about coffee. So there, you know, I wanted to talk to you about the high protein diets and especially fat. So while everyone's listening, I would like to see if I could get you to commit to maybe coming back on sometime this fall and sort of delving into some of those other issues we didn't get to.
Sure. No, yeah, that'd be good.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, what is one thing you enjoy about life or something you do to make life more enjoyable?
Oh, well, they used to call me the warrior nerd.
Yeah, that's funny. I've seen that.
You know,
yeah,
nerdy tendencies. People are going to find this funny, and a lot of meathead lifters would roll their eyes about this, but I like stuff like fantasy literature, like Dungeons and Dragons and books and even tabletop games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's sort of this whole fantasy genre.
Yeah.
And I actually paint little guys. You know, it's so nerdy. But I didn't go to school in art, so that's one of the things I do is I paint little pewter guys, you know, to wind down. I've got little bottles of paint around the house next to my coffee cups and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's my artistic outlet because I almost did it in college, and my wife almost did too. And so, and you know, we'll go to conventions, you know, Gen Con, Comic Con, stuff like that. And that's a side of me that most people
don't know about,
don't regularly see. But that's what I do to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good at it over the years.
Yeah.
You know, my little dude mans appear in magazines and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Everyone has like something like that about them that they're either going to disclose, they have the confidence to disclose, or they hide it. But
well, let's share this with you, Mark. I told you that, but I had a local reporter pushing me about that, and I declined.
Yeah. So there is a okay. I'm gonna try to mitigate the damage of this.
Yeah. Right.
So my deal is, and our listeners know this, but I am in a barbershop quartet. So, like, you talk about nerdy. I mean, like, our nerd powers combined are, like, pretty nerdy. So
nerdy. But, you know, you need some balance.
Yeah.
And if you're always serious with the science and, you know, you're training your butt off in the gym and everything, it's so different. It's like a whole different community.
Right.
And I think it's good to have that kind of balance. I appreciate that more that I'm middle-aged now.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Dr. Larry, so appreciative that you were on. Just thrilled to have you on as a guest. We really appreciate this.
No, I appreciate it. I think we need to do, as you know, as much cross-pollinating across podcasts as we can because, you know, the listeners benefit.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Lowry. Check him out on Iron Radio and check out the episode that I was on. It's back there a few episodes, I'm sure. I'm sure they haven't like taken it down yet. Maybe they have. We talk about habits. So that was fun. So Dr. Lowry is an awesome guy. Yeah, like I said in the interview, there's a couple of topics that I wanted to get to with him on, and we never even got to it because I was just like, you know what? We're going to just finish this coffee talk because I was having so much talk. I thought about that coffee talk with
– We get a lot of questions about coffee. I specifically have myself a lot of questions about coffee, so this is good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to listening to this.
Very good.
Time travel talk.
Yeah. All right. It is now time for Humans Being Human. We talked at the beginning of the show. Chris Brannon is on again, and he tells the elk package story. So here is Chris in all of his glory mountain biking.
Shut your face, too.
Yes, joining
us. Yeah, while you're at it, why don't you jump down a well?
Well, that was taken out of context. Joining us on the Simply Human Podcast, it is the Styrofoam Cup Man, Chris.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so here is how this happened, Rick. Chris was like, hey, I've got a story. And I was like, oh, great. I would love to hear it, meaning I want to do this. Well, he sent me like a super long text, like of the whole story, and I felt bad because he probably spent quite a long time drafting this text. And then I was like, I didn't read it. I texted him. I was like, I'm not reading that. I want to hear the story for the. It had something to do with a mail fraud or something, right?
Yeah. It's the elk package,
ooh.
And mail fraud and clearing a conference room.
Now, see, Mark is very familiar with mail fraud, but he spells mail differently, and it's when he comes to meet his escort that he met on Craigslist.
This is all erroneous. This is all baronious. Okay, so start from the beginning.
So I overheard this story at my wife's grandfather's funeral, sort of the after... when you're, you know, sitting around with the family and whatnot and reminiscing. So
the after party at the funeral.
I wasn't going to say that, but that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
But the brothers were all together talking about the different stories of we're going to call him Peter, of Peter. And,
Peter.
So the story goes that one time, all of the brothers got together, and brother-in-laws as well, got together and...
I believe it's brothers-in-law, but that's beside the point.
I was just thinking the same thing, and I was like, only Mark is going to stop this story down to correct Chris and say brothers-in-law.
Well, however, that makes you happy, go for it.
Sorry.
But they get together, and they decide that they're going to take Peter hunting. Peter has a pretty weak stomach, and he goes through with one trip, but just can't make it through on the next trip that they're going on. So this is the second trip that they're planning. Paul, that's his real name, decides to call Peter up and say, hey, let's go hunting again. This time we're going to go for elk. I know that we had a bad time with the deer, but let's go. So... 2 days before the trip, Peter calls and says, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I threw up on the last one. I'm just not going to be able to do this again. And so Paul says, that's fine. I've still got the lease. I'm going out. So he goes out, kills an elk and a buck. And evidently this is from him because I'm not a hunter.
Hunterman. That's what it's called.
A hunterman. When you kill an elk or a male animal, you emasculate it. So, Mark, if you don't know what that is, just look in your pants.
Hey. emasculating is an elk is when you just have a bunch of whipped cream in your underwear? That's weird.
Okay, pause, time out. I am not a hunterman. Does anyone here have an answer as to why you do that? Why you chop the D off? context, by the way. Okay, so some hunting value in removing
the
drankus.
the junk, everything. So... Paul clears everything up. He proceeds to dry the penis and the scrotum.
Okay.
And once he gets it all dry,
with his hair,
with I don't know what they do. So once he gets it all dry, he seals it up in a 35 millimeter film container.
Okay.
So. It's all sealed up, and he takes it to his sister, who we'll call it a sister because her name's going to be Mary. Takes it to his sister.
Is doubting Thomas a part of the story?
No. These are the three characters, and that's all.
Okay.
So he takes it to her. She happens to work in the mail room of an Air Force base.
Again, male spelled M-A-L-E.
Male.
Male fraud oh, was going on in the mail room.
There's mail fraud going on in Mark's pants right now.
Again, the only thing happening down there is there's a bunch of whipped cream down there. I don't understand what the joke's all about. Okay.
Okay, so squirt mail room.
I missed that. Am I going to have to bleep that?
No wonder Rudy's so fat.
Oh, gosh. I don't...
God!
Rudy is my dog. For anyone who's listening to think that Rudy is my son or something, yeah. Rudy is my dog. But I don't get the joke, so we're just going to continue.
So...
He's fat because he has to take steroids because he's very sick. But, you know, thanks a lot. Way to go, Chris.
Well, here's hoping he doesn't die soon.
Oh, he will, hopefully.
So Mary proceeds to forward the sealed deer penis, or elk penis, scrotum, all of that, all over the nation to her buddies. Saying each time, hey, we need you to repackage this and resend it. Basically, Paul doesn't want Peter to know that he is sending this to him. Okay, so
that
goes on
okay.
for a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's elaborate.
Right. So
wait, hang on. Say that one more time to set this up. I wasn't. I'm slightly confused.
So he didn't. They had it sent to like many different places, so he couldn't like trace who actually sent it to him.
So yeah, each time you're getting a new like a zip code stamp through military mail. So
okay,
M A I L. So
it's another good type of.
So then, at this time, this is late 70s, early 80s. Peter is working in a tech company in Dallas. And when you're working in a tech company in Dallas and you receive mail with a government stamp, it's going to go right into the office no matter who, no matter what's going on. So the family, or the family, the courier rushes it in to the conference room.
He's just flopping it around in his hand. He's already like taking it.
Well, this is hold on. This is in many packages. Remember,
right?
Okay.
So to speak.
Peter gets this, and he's in there with all of his buddies. They're getting really excited about this government contract. Government, what is in this? We have no idea. They start to open it up. So this has been gone around the country. Several layers of, kind of a Russian nesting doll of packages.
That's a good reference.
They're unopening it, and then.
Wait, if you're unopening it, doesn't that mean you're closing it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So why would they be closing
it?
Oh, I see.
Unwrapping it. So, they finally get down to the last few boxes. When the smell hits them.
Oh, gosh.
That penis smell.
No, I think it's the decaying smell is what he's referring to.
Whatever a decaying penis or scrotum or smells like.
Flesh, any flesh.
That's what...
smells delicious.
That's what hits
Jack.
Them in the face. And Peter begins... puking everywhere.
Oh, no.
Clears the conference room of all of his buddies. They're getting a government contract, just blowing chunks. And then the Stand By Me moment, if you watch that movie, everybody else starts vomiting around him. And so it's just this pile upon pile of puke.
Talk about an emotional roller coaster. For 1 minute, you think you're getting this lucrative government contract, and then you open the package, and you find out you're getting a dead, decaying deer penis.
Oh, my gosh. Joke's on you. Okay, so
They kept that secret until the day he died. They said that they, even at that point in time, that they couldn't believe that he had never brought that up and tried to pin it on one of them.
That is great. That's a good way to... I was going to say, well, you normally after the humans and humans story, it's like, well, Rick, have you ever mailed an elk penis? Like,
well, I thought this would piggyback nice onto the brownie incident or whatever we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
The poop, when we sent our friend poop instead of a cup.
Yeah,
I was expecting.
There you go.
There you have it, everyone. The backpack story. I stole that from Chris. I didn't come up with that.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Chris, thank you for being on the show again. Please poop in a cup again so you can come back on some other time.
No.
Thank you, Chris. I'm sure he will be back on. Would you say he's in like the top 10 like most dedicated listeners?
Mark, I don't like to play favorites with our listeners. I don't like to say that one listener is more important than the other.
Well,
listener.
That's not what I was saying.
That's exactly what you were saying. So everyone that's listening to this, it's not Chris Brannon. Mark just took a dump on your face.
I did not. Okay.
No, I really like. I understand that there are lots of people who go to the website. They like our Facebook page. They follow you on Twitter, whatever. And they probably don't ever comment towards us. They probably don't ever say anything, or they probably never email. But I recognize that's the majority of people. But Chris is one of those people that's very frequently commenting and liking and posting and stuff like that on our Facebook page. So he's one of the ones that we automatically think about. Chris is a great dude, and one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. I don't remember what episode number it was, but in Everyman with Chris.
Yes.
And man, he's an everyman, and he's doing great. So
yeah. And it's
awesome
crazy
to have his input.
Like last year at this time, he had made a bunch of changes, and like I think that's about the time we had him on. It's been about a year ago, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah,
and
it was about a year ago.
And when you look at pictures of him from last year, it's like, whoa. Like he looked, you know, like he's just continuing to like just do great and get stronger.
Yeah.
And, so he's great. And
such a hunk.
Looks so good with his shirt off. Oh, you wouldn't
believe. And he had his birthday a couple days ago. So happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday. We went to Banzai in Abilene that has like, there was like, his wife sent out a text like the morning of his birthday to like, you know, 8 or 9 couples just like, hey, last minute, you know, it's Chris's birthday. Does anybody want to, you know, go after
anybody
dinner?
Want to get a giant bowl together and put our keys in there and see what happens?
No, that didn't happen. And it just show up and it's just all the husbands like, dang it. And so like,
we're so, oh man. Oh, okay. Mark,
turn them off. Yeah, here we go. I guess we got to do it. I've already driven all the way across town.
I had my heart set on something, so I guess.
So she sends out this text, and I'm sure she was just thinking, you know, maybe 2 or 3 couples would like say yes, since it was so short notice. And every couple was like, "Yep, sure, we'll be there." And so, like, there were like 45 people in our party that night. It was insanity, but it was a lot of fun. So anyway, okay, it is now time for the tip of the week. Something you start doing today to become more healthy human. And this is, we're gonna kind of tie in the coffee talk with who was that? It was Mike Myers. Coffee talk with.
I'm beklempt. With Linda Meyer.
Linda Richmond. I'm beklempt. So this is an article from HuffPost. Why do some people live longer than others? And it says, we all want to live healthier, longer lives.
That's like the most confusing headline of all time. Yeah. Because they do. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, well, you figure it out. Yeah. We want to live healthier, longer lives. This is from the article. Every year brings with it new developments that have the potential to help us live longer, healthier, happier lives. Some of these are exciting, some less exciting. Not all claims turn out to be accurate or helpful, but there is advice that is backed up by solid research that suggests we really can benefit from a change. These are the most recent discoveries in healthcare to remember and how we can use them to make our lives healthier. Remember, grain of salt here, obviously. So apples, an apple a day does keep the doctor away. fruit. I think really any fruit is better. You know, and then like, oh, an organic apple, not organic apple. An apple, any apple is better than like a milkshake, right? So like, apples, fruit is good. It says alcohol is the next one. Okay, it says here in the UK. Good day, mate. We've now got one of the lowest recommended alcohol limits in the world, down to 14 drinks a week. And for the first time, it's the same for both sexes. Dame Sally Davies and her team brought the limit down after new research showed that even light drinking increases the risk of breast and bowel cancer and has smaller health benefits than were previously believed. But as the life insurance industry has long known, non-drinkers don't live as long as moderate drinkers. So like, you have this research study that's like, you know, saying all this other stuff, but like, it's kind of like Vegas. Like, Vegas knows, right? Like, what's going to happen. So it's like life insurance industry is like the Vegas of, you know, of that kind of stuff. Like, they know where the money is. So they know that non-drinkers don't live as long as moderate drinkers. So they just don't understand why. So that's interesting. So cholesterol is the next one. And then here we go. Coffee. People who drank 3 to 5 cups of coffee per day have about 15% lower risk of premature mortality compared to people who didn't drink coffee. How? Coffee drinkers have a decreased risk of stroke and maybe less at risk of type 2 diabetes. There's speculation about what ingredient may be benefit. Lignans, quinides, and magnesium have been proposed, but strangely, it doesn't seem to be the caffeine, since drinking decaffeinated coffee has similar benefits. There was also no benefit of coffee for smokers. Then, of course, it says exercise and spices, sunlight, things like that. But so the tip of the week is, like, now we talk about in the interview with Dr. Lowry, like, if you cannot sleep and, you know, you're having total sleep issues where you're like insomnia, like, you know, don't drink coffee, like, don't drink stimulants. That might be the problem. But if you're healthy and like doing good things, and like, I mean, he said he drinks, I can't remember exactly, you know, 3 or 4 cups in the morning, like, get the tip of the week is, like, don't buy like crap coffee, right? Like, if you have like, and now if you've already bought, like, if you got a Keurig for your birthday or something, like, then, you know, use the Keurig, whatever. But, like,
Mark, it says to throw it away.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what'd you do? You, like, threw my birthday present away. Like, oh, Mark said it to you. Jerk. So, but, you know, buy, like, good, spend some money on, like, good quality coffee. Don't get, like, the cheapest coffee, because coffee isn't just about, like, waking you up. There are actual benefits to good, high quality coffee. So, drink good coffee. There it is. Is
okay. How do you know what's very quickly? How do you know what's good and what's not good?
Right.
I buy Starbucks or yeah. not Starbucks. I buy coffee from Costco.
Yeah. So I was happy to find out from Dr. Lowry in the interview that you just listened to that he like does all his research with Starbucks Via, which is like the little packets, because in those and like he mentions in the article in the interview, like, those are like, You know what you're getting. Like, with drip coffee and other ways you make coffee, like, the caffeine, the milligram amount is very variable. Like, it could be very high or very low, just kind of depending on several different factors in those methods of brewing. But, like, those little Via packets, which I'm going to start buying them. He takes them before, like, he works out, because caffeine before you work out can help, you know, do a lot of good things for your musculoskeletal, cardiovascular system, all that stuff. But he uses, like, he drinks, like, Starbucks. And so, like, he buys the Starbucks coffee. So he's not like, you know, I asked him, like, do you have to buy, like, the bulletproof Dave Asprey $48 million a pound coffee? And like, no, but don't buy, like, the bottom of the barrel coffee, right?
Like, so like a Taster's Choice.
Yeah, or something like that. Like, and now if you've drank Folgers your whole life, like, great. But Folgers is, like, the farther you go down, like, the cheaper it gets, the more they do to try to just make more of it, and you're losing some of the nutrition. That goes with anything.
See, the Costco coffee I buy, the Kirkland's, it comes in beans. You have to actually grind it there at the store.
Yes,
so
yes.
I would assume that means that's good, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of not buying pre-ground coffee. Oh, what's the study that you'd – you know, there's no study. Just to me, like, it just seems more natural. We're talking about Simply Human, a way to do it.
Well, and you know, like, I can open the bag and I can see that it's nothing but coffee beans.
Right.
Whereas, like, if you buy pre-ground coffee I don't know if this happens or not, but, like, I don't know. I wouldn't be real super shocked if, like, Maxwell House, like, there was an expose that said half their coffee is sawdust because it's cheaper or something
right. Kind of like that.
So.
They did, like, Parmesan cheese, like Parmesan cheese, like, a few months ago, there was this big thing that it was sawdust. Like, Parmesan cheese was, like, half, like, sawdust.
Like, the shakeout, like, the Kraft Parmesan shaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Unbelievable.
My kids love that, by the way.
Yeah. They just open their mouths and dump it in. All right.
Sawdust.
All right, I think that is going to do it. Coming up next time, so excited. I've already done the interview. Joe DeSena, the creator of the Spartan races. We nerd out, totally nerd out on the Sparta stuff because I have actually been doing his Spartan Fit like 30-day workouts, and like this is day like 12 of the workouts. They're pretty intense. They're pretty crazy. They're very out of the box. There's no barbell work. There's no like weights. It's all like body weight and just like.
Hang on, what's his name?
Joe DeSena.
How do you spell DeSena?
D-E space S-E-N-A. Joe DeSena.
Okay.
No, Rick, I'm so sad you missed this interview. We're going to talk about it on the next show. But he grew up in Queens, and like the neighborhood that he grew up in was the neighborhood that he like that Goodfellas was filmed in. It's like, and he was he was the pool boy for like 700 like mob guys. Seriously, like it's insane. Like we have, I'm so like sad that you weren't on. Like I made like a reference to Donnie Brasco, and he's like, yeah, actually, that's like kind of how it happened. Like I said, oh, did everybody pay you in like envelopes of cash? And he was like, yeah, they did. Like it was like awesome. So anyway, super excited to have him on, and that was a really cool interview, which is going to be on episode 140. So go to the website simplyhumanlifestyle.com. @simplyhuman52 is where you can find us on social media. You can call us at 530-42-HUMAN. Oh man, I'm going to play it on the next show. There was a voicemail that I wanted to play, but I will play it on the next show. Call us. Leave us comments, questions if you have. You can text that number. And somebody texted me, hey, because we said who wants to, you know, who are repeat guests you want to have on. And somebody texted me and said, hey, how about Dr. Tim Martin, who was on, who's the Abilene physician, who's like, you know, in.
Oh,
this.
Yeah.
And he, and so, I've already emailed Dr. Martin. He's going to be back on the show late, the first week of September, he's going to be on. So, that'll be fun. So text that number, 530-42-HUMAN. I believe that is going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember...
So until next time, enjoy yourself.